So tonight, I'm going to affirm in the second of these two debates about the roles of elders and preachers that the preacher, in fact, is the most important role. Even in a church where there might be elders, in fact, the preacher's role is the most important. I want to start off by talking about what the reality of the situation in the church. Few churches, and I think we all understand this, have elders, and they function just fine. So if we're talking about a role that's important, and we begin to talk about the importance of the role of elders as opposed to the preacher, there's very, very few churches that have elders, and they function just fine. In fact, they function just fine without elders for many years or even decades. And fewer churches still, even if you might find a church with elders, I think you'd find that even few of those that have elders in them, the position of elders is occupied by men who, by, I would say, general consensus, are not qualified. So you have very few people who are actually qualified, according to 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, and so forth, that serve in that capacity. And I'd say many people, if not honestly, most people, the reality is most people believe the qualifications that are listed, and you can review them in those passages, they're unrealistic, and most people would consider them unnecessary, and that's why a lot of times you have the appointment of men who don't really fit the qualifications. And if you were to look among younger people, and the passage being in 1 Timothy 3, to aspire to fill that role or be in that position, you'd find few young people that really aspire to be in the role and to be qualified, at least to that extent, like those passages teach. The idea of elders, really, in modern times, as the church has grown and progressed since the first century, has been replaced by what we might consider the pastor, or the modern idea of the pastor, meaning the preacher. And so the ideal situation in a local church, Wes might talk about what the Bible says, and the ideal situation, what God would have in a church, is elders and perhaps preacher. The ideal situation in a local church might very well be men serving in the position of elders, and maybe a man or more than one serving in the position of preachers, and harmoniously working together to do the work that God wants done, and the members clearly understanding that, and understanding the distinction between what an elder or pastors are and what the preacher is. That might be the ideal situation, but in reality, that's just not the case. And it's certainly not the case in most places. And so I think you have to admit, for various reasons, and we'll talk about them tonight in the debate, the preacher's role is the most important. Let's acknowledge a few things about the preacher. Number one, he's the public figure. Just like this morning, you know, we have a public assembly, etc. There's one guy that gets up and he stands in the pulpit. He's the public figure. And he adequately does the job, and most people feel that if he's teaching from the Bible and so forth, he adequately does the job of shepherding the flock, feeding the flock the Word of God. He leads the church in the spiritual direction that it's going to inevitably go because he's teaching week after week after week. And so if you're talking about who really leads, even if you had elders, if you're talking about who leads the church, who puts the church in a certain direction, it's the guy that's up there teaching week after week after week. People follow his example. And you begin to talk about the preacher and the position he occupies, the role he's in. They follow his example. They look to his faith. They expect his faith to be strong. They expect him to be exemplary. They rely on his knowledge. They will ask him, what does the Bible say about so-and-so? What's the Word of God about this or that? They'll seek his counsel in all types of situations, whether it's job-related, family-related, marriage-related, etc., etc. The preacher is in all those roles. He puts his stamp on a church because of his teaching, because of his leadership, etc. With his preaching, he's quoted, he's looked to, he's listened to, he's followed. And in fact, people commonly will say, you know, in this case, Michael says or Wes says or whoever the preacher might be, they say, and that becomes the overall dictate then of the direction the church goes. Now, let me close by saying this. The primary importance of the preacher is seen And I think this is the strongest argument that points to which role is most important, because the primary importance of the preacher is seen in the urgency with which we approach filling the roles. Churches feel an urgency to get a preacher. If I die, Wes moves away, you would feel an urgency. We've got to have a preacher. We've got to have somebody fill that role. You would go out, you would try to find a preacher to fill that role, etc., etc. They feel an urgency. This is the case with most churches, to get a preacher when they don't have one, but there's no real urgency to get elders. So which role is more important? Obviously, denominations understood that a long time ago, and so they merged the two ideas, the two roles or positions, into what they call the pastor. Even members of the Church of Christ. I think you find more and more, and I know this has been in the case in the 40 years I've been in the church, more and more people are perceiving the preacher in this hybridized role of pastor. They consider that the important position. And therefore, I think we can only conclude that the role or position of the preacher is the most important. Or else we'd feel and pursue the urgency of qualifying and appointing qualified men to serve in the role. Now I want you to think about what that's saying. I want you to look at that, and we're going to ask the question, who is the most important? What is the most important role? I don't mean the person necessarily, but the position. What is the most important role in a church? If truly, and not just here at East Orange, but if across America and throughout the world, if people felt that the elder's role was the role that had to be filled, then younger people would be urged, persuaded to pursue qualifying for that. There would be a sense of urgency. If you had a church in which most churches are in this case, did you say? 2 minutes, great. If you had the case where you had a church that did not have elders, they would have that same urgency they have when the preacher vacates the role. We've got to get the preacher. We've got to get another preacher. And so in this case, it would be we've got to have elders. We have to have people fill this role. But we don't feel that. And no matter how much teaching we do, or how much someone who believes that elders are important, that the role has to be filled, it still goes on, and it goes on, and that's just the reality. So it's not that we're arguing, you know, in this sense, an idealistic situation that God wants, but we're arguing the reality, which role is most important, and I think we have to conclude people feel the preacher's role is the most important. I'll yield the rest of my time to this.
We've got an issue with arguing about what is the most important. And the reason there is a problem with arguing about which role is most important is because of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Where Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, that Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why Ephesians 4 and verse 12 tells us that. Ephesians 4 and verse 12 says, "So to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, until we're no longer children," so on and so forth. You say, what are you talking about, Wes? I'm arguing from the situation that both are equally important. How can one be more important than the other when they have been given to the church for the same purpose? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry until we reach the mature manhood and no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, etc., etc. It is impossible in my understanding of importance to say one is more important when Christ gave them for the very purpose. So let me illustrate it in this way, right? So if you have to get your driver's license from the DMV, right? Here in New Jersey, you have to have 6 points of identification. It tells you specifically there, you have to have one from all four of these groups. At least one primary ID, which could be a valid driver's license, passport, etc. At least one secondary ID, a verifiable social security number, and a proof of address. And their website goes on to show you all of the things that are accepted in these different categories, but you are expected and are required to have something from each category. Which category is the most important? They're all equally important because they are necessary. That is what has been given. And that is the way it is with elders and with preachers, is that Christ gave them so that the church would have both. Not that they would have a preacher, but that they would have preachers and pastors. That's what it is. So you can't take one out and say one is more important than the other when they've both been given for the same purpose. So let me illustrate it another way. So arguably, or in my opinion, not arguably, the greatest band of all time is the Beatles. Which of the Beatles was the most important? Which was the lead singer? Which was the most visible? You understand, they, all four of them led on songs. All four of them wrote songs. They all four went in their individual careers to go on and have number one hits by themselves. But never did they individually reach the magnitude nor the importance as they did when they were working together as a unit. You see, that's the way it is with Christianity. Oftentimes in a band, the lead singer gets all the credit. But without the drummer, without the guitarist, without the keyboardist, without the person who's actually writing the song, guess what you got? You've got someone getting all the credit and it's not theirs to have. You understand that, right? What God has done with the church is He's given all of the things to contribute as a whole, and you can't take one out and say this one is more important than the other one. What you have to say is we are all equally important. But here's the problem. Do we practically think that? No, that's what broke up the Beatles. They practically thought, I'm more important to this band than John is, or George is, or definitely more than Ringo is. I'm more important. But yet, separate, they were not the same. They were not the ideal. So let me paint you a picture of why both are given and both are equally important. Let me ask you a question here. So whose job is it? I want you to turn to Titus, the first chapter. James, how much time do I have? Okay, I got time. So if you go to Titus chapter 1, the directions are given to Titus, and we have the qualifications in Titus 1 of the elders. Well, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 10, you have this statement. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, is what Paul says to Titus, okay? He says they must be silenced since they are doing all of this. I want you to go back and I want you to think about what is the elder's responsibility in this. The very last qualification of the elder ties directly to this. Go back to verse 9 with me. This elder, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many insubordinate out there whose mouths must be stopped. You understand that that last qualification of the elder is that he must be able to exhort and convict, the King James and the New King James says, those who contradict. The mouths need to be stopped, and one of the things he needs to be able to do is stop the mouths. Now notice how he turns it now to Titus. Look here what the preacher's role is. Look down in verse 12. He talks about the Cretans. Someone has always said that they are liars. They're evil beasts. They're lazy gluttons. And Paul says, this is true. And notice what Paul says Titus to do. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that you may be sound in the faith. Do you understand that what is being given right there is that the preacher's responsibility is the similar, if not the exact same, when someone's mouth needs to be stopped, guess who needs to do it? Both do it. You know how that practically happens in a church where there are elders and a church where there are elders and preachers, or it's a church where there's preachers? Take East Orange right here. Just church preachers. You know who's responsible for stopping the mouths that need to be stopped? The preachers. So you know how we do that oftentimes? Sometimes you do it from the pulpit. Sometimes you do it privately. Well, let's say there's only one person. So I come up to you and I'm like, you got to stop that. You were wrong about this. Here's the scriptures, all this. You got to stop teaching that. Well, that individual might not want anything to do with that. Say, oh, Wes is just off his rocker. He's crazy. Well, Michael's crazy. Wes doesn't agree with that, right? Well, in a church where there are elders and preachers, do you know who normally stops the mouths first before it's ever brought up publicly? The elders squash that real fast. And you know who usually doesn't see it? The flock. The members don't see it. They don't even know that there is a problem yet unless they were in that Bible class. The elders stop it almost privately. The preachers do it publicly. Now, granted, preachers, they do it from house to house as well. I didn't cease from declaring to you the whole counsel of God, Paul says in Acts chapter 20 to the elders of the Ephesus church, is that this is what I've done. Oh man, I'm out. Okay. They work together to do the same job, is my point. I'll yield with that. First time I think I've ever taken all the time.
All right. So go ahead, James. Start on time. So Wes made several arguments about the necessity of all. Ephesians chapter 4 made the argument from Titus that we need both elders and preachers. Made several arguments from the standpoint, first of all, of the qualifications that DMV requires. It's my understanding that in situations like that, they give you a list. And as long as you have what's necessary, really needed, you don't have to have everything on the list. That'd be my... And so, again, that's exactly what we're talking about. You don't have to have everything to get the job done, just what's really, really necessary. And as far as the band is concerned, you know, I agree with you 100%. I think the Beatles, you know, arguably the greatest band of all time. All four positions were, you know, phenomenal. The guys were great. But I think the world has survived just fine without the Beatles. So, anyway, let me tell you what we know. What we know is that churches as well do just fine without elders for years. And rarely, though, do they do well without a preacher. Now, ask yourself, in reality, and that's what we're arguing here, not idealism. In reality, if churches do just fine without elders, and in reality they don't do just fine without an accomplished preacher in the pulpit for very long, then which role is more important? We might continue to say that different ways. Most people can assume a lot of the duties that elders function. I mean, they can be examples, they can counsel, they can do a lot of those kind of things. But most people cannot assume the role of regularly speaking publicly. They may preach a sermon, and they may do a great job at it. But this idea of regularly, ongoing, every time, standing up and preaching publicly, they don't do that. And as far as the idea of doing exhaustive, in-depth study over a wide range of subjects and topics and doing the teaching from that, most people either are not qualified, are not willing, just are not that adept at doing that. But people that serve in the position of preachers generally do it. They do that. They accomplish that. And so people understand that. So people are generally equipped to do a lot of the things elders do. But they're not professionals at doing the public speaking. They're not professionals at some of these things that the preacher does in that public role, that visible public role that preachers occupy. They're not as smooth. I mean, when you've got someone preaching a sermon that's not a quote-unquote regular preacher or professional preacher, it's not as smooth. People feel that is not as capable of speaking and teaching and so forth. They're not as communicative with people, etc., etc. And so people look at the necessity of folks filling that role of a preacher. People expect a professional. That's just all there is to it. No telling the number of comments that are made when people come into a church such as this. If there is not a preacher, and the church has no intention of there being a regular professional preacher, how many times a comment will be made, they don't have a preacher. And so they will seek going somewhere else because they expect that, they want that, they need that. Where elders, not saying that there's no reason to have elders or anything else. I said in the very first speech that in an ideal situation, you'd have elders. But the truth is what people look at, when people look at it, they're viewed as a luxury or really unnecessary. If other people can handle all the duties, then you don't really have to have them. But on the other hand, how many people, in a realistic sense, fill that role of being the preacher? In fact, most members, I think, don't even realize a distinction. And I think this is where we are. I know it is in the denominational world. I'm certain it is in the church to a great degree. They don't even realize a distinction between an elder or pastor and preacher. The position's been completely blurred, hybridized, if you will, but it's been completely blurred with the modern pastor idea. And so preachers wear that term. I mean, you can drive around town, you can see preachers called everything from pastor, shepherd, bishop, and on it goes. That's the way people see the role of elders. Elders direct, they conduct the business of the church. Generally speaking, when a church has elders, yes, they direct the church. Yes, they conduct the business of the church. But those responsibilities can easily be handled by other people. Yet the preacher is the spiritual leader in most places. It's as simple as that. He does the teaching. He's held up as the example. Children are told to follow him, listen to him, look to him, what the preacher says, and people are in a habit of quoting the preacher, etc., etc. He has the most influence. He's the most visible. And Wes, if you don't call that the most important role, then I don't know what you would call it. It's parallel, for example, to use what Wes was talking about with elders. Let's say we have a principal of a school. We have a school superintendent. We might rush to say those people are more important than teachers. But in the minds of people, are they? Or is it the teacher who has the direct contact with the student? Would we not look at the teacher and say, that's the one who has my kid for 7 or 8 hours a day. That's the one that has the most influence. And truthfully speaking, with my child, that teacher is more important. I may not even know the principal by name, or certainly not the school superintendent. So which role is more important? You know, as Paul said of Titus, Wes went to the book of Titus. So let's talk about it for a second. Yes, elders are in that position, if they're qualified, to stop the mouths of false teachers. But you know, the truth is, Paul goes on to tell Titus to do the exact same job. In fact, you speak the sound doctrine, chapter 2, verse 1. You become the pattern of good works. You exhort, Wes, and convict, verse 15 of Titus 2. And in fact, as far as rebuking and stopping the false teacher in chapter 3 and verse 10, you admonish the heretic, first and second admonition, and you, Titus, the preacher, you reject it. So, again, the importance of the role. And if we went on to 2 Timothy, it is the preacher, Timothy, who correctly handles, or the King James handles, the Word of God aright. It's the preacher who's apt to teach in chapter 2, verses 15 and 24. It's the preacher who preaches the Word in chapter 4 and verse 2. He reproves, he rebukes, Wes, the job you gave to elders. Well, the preacher does. He can handle that job. He can rebuke. He can exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So again, we ask the question, what role is more important than that? 2 minutes. All right, great. Just enough time to make this illustration. Let me go back to the Beatles. Now, I love the Beatles. And I'm a great fan of the Beatles, have been for probably about twice as long as Wes has been alive. But let me tell you about the Beatles. They were 4 great musicians. And you know what happened with the Beatles? When they got into the last few albums that are considered so spectacular, they began to squabble and fight between themselves, and they started, one would quit and leave. Ringo famously left for 3 weeks in the middle of the White Album. No problem, because Paul, unbeknownst to a whole lot of people, was an accomplished drummer. So when Ringo couldn't drum, Paul stepped in and banged the drums. Most of them played multiple instruments, so if John was off on one of his weirdo quests, Paul might play the piano, you know. If George got mad and left for a while, John was an accomplished lead guitarist. The truth is, yes, they were 4 great musicians, and put them together and they were fantastic. But did you have to have all 4? The truth is, Beatle fans, avid Beatle fans know a lot of those songs on those albums are only 1, 2, 3, but not all 4 of the Beatles at any given time. You don't have to have. But could you survive without someone who couldn't do one of those jobs? If nobody could drum, etc. No, you'd have to have it. And the truth is, the jobs that can't be done by other people are accomplished by the public professional, the preacher. Which role is more important? I never knew this was going to be a debate about the Beatles.
I intentionally left some of Michael's arguments off in the first one so I could hit them this go around. One of his big arguments of why the preacher's job is more important is the urgency, was his quote, that we use to fill the role of a preacher. I want you to notice in the first century, that was not the case. I want you to go to Acts the 14th chapter. In Acts the 14th chapter, Paul's, to use Michael's term, so-called first missionary journey, or the commonly called first missionary journey, it is at the end. He has been stoned. He has been left for dead. He arises and he goes back and he visits all of the churches that he has been to. And you'll notice that he and Barnabas, in verse 22 of Acts 14, that they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And notice this, verse 23. And when they had appointed ministers or preachers for them in every church. No, hold on. When they had appointed elders for them in every church. Do you see that was what the Apostle Paul, if we want to put an importance factor on something, the Apostle Paul said what we need in this church is not a preacher. There may have been a preacher there. We don't know. But what we know is that in every church, they went about appointing elders. It wasn't ideal. It was necessary. It was equally as important. That was the first century urgency. Again, go back to what we talked about last week in Titus chapter 1. When Paul gives the directions to Titus about setting up these elders in verse 3 or verse 5. He says, that's why I left you in Crete, that you might put what remained or what was lacking into order and appoint preachers in every town. No, that's not what your Bible says. Your Bible says to appoint elders in every town as I directed you. We said, well, yeah, there was already a preacher there. Well, yeah, there was already a preacher there. But Paul looked at that and said, you're lacking something. Every church, every town needs elders. So of course we rush to fill preachers because people get up and they're not as qualified in the sense of public speaking. But that doesn't mean that it's more important than having elders, does it? It obviously does not. I want you to think about it in this way. Go back to Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets. In that hierarchy, which of those is more important? Can you say a prophet that gets a message from God and they come and they speak before us, that their message from God is less important than an apostle from God who received the message? No, we would say if it came from God, guess what it was? Equally important. It's the same thing with elders and preachers. They are just as equal in the sense of God has given both and they have given roles, and sometimes their roles overlap, to Michael's point, and as I made a minute ago about the mouths needing to be stopped. Sometimes they do overlap. But guess what? Is it easier in your house if the husband and the wife are working together to raise the kid? Or does it work better when the wife is raising the kid and husband's at work doing his thing, or the husband is not helping out or working together in that? No, doesn't it work better when the husband comes along after mom has done that and he agrees with her and they do the same thing? What do we say that is? That is reinforcement. That is backup. That is what is needed in the church. Both are needed. They are both equally necessary. Now, again, the whole idea that one is more important than the other because of the urgency to do it. Well, I would suggest to you, and Michael would agree with this, the reason why it's easier to find a preacher than it is to find an elder is because of a lot of different things. First off, you need multiple people. Okay? It's pretty easy if you've just got to find one. But you got to find multiple. Okay? Secondly, not only do you need multiple people, you need multiple people who fit these qualifications laid out in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, 1 Peter 5. Do you know what that means you have to have in your church? Elderly people. You have to have people that have children, that have faithful children, that have all of these qualities. And guess what? If it is a brand new church, that's going to be hard to find, isn't it? So guess what? You'll be easier to find. It'll be easier to find someone there is no formal qualification for. So find me a formal qualification of a preacher. Well, you'd have to do some principles, right? Don't allow a woman to usurp authority over a man, so it would have to be a man, okay? So we'll start there. Hold. Timothy, don't let anyone despise you for your youth. So definitely someone young can do it. We got Peter as an old man. We got Paul as an old man being minister, so it can be old. Well, that gives us a lot of people to pick from, doesn't it? Just got to get one that can either be old or young, or to use the term that we've been using lately, someone who is seasoned. It's easier to fill that role. But here's the problem. Michael and I were talking about this, and I find this interesting. When people think of a church, they don't ask the question, well, who are the elders at that church? You know what people ask the question? Well, who's the preacher? Well, there is some truth to that, right? Because he's the visible face most of the time. But the problem is, we should be asking, does the church have elders first? Who's the evangelist? Who's the preacher? They should be unified questions. But yet, for some reason, we think one is more important than the other. And what I am arguing is that one is not more important than the other. One is just easier to hire or appoint than the other. I find it very interesting that you have a lot of different things that are said. Michael keeps talking about this spiritual leader. In practicality, he is a spiritual leader, right? But I want you to go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. I can't even say it. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. When Jesus grills the scribes, the Pharisees, and he calls them hypocrites. See, so often we put so much emphasis in man and in the preacher, and the preacher says this and the preacher says that, therefore that must be what it is, right? Well, Jesus says to these Pharisees, but to his disciples first in verse 8 of Matthew 23, "You are not to be called rabbi by others, but you, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man on earth your father, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor who is Christ, and the greatest among you shall be servant." You say, Wes, what does that have to do with anything? Well, you see, we want that instructor to say, well, I got that from Michael, or I got that from Wes. And oftentimes it goes to preachers' heads that we've got a little bit of a following of our own. And what he's saying is, no, 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 it's not that. The real spiritual leader is Christ. The real Father is God. You're all brothers. I planted, Apollos watered, Paul said, but God gave the increase. We all work together, whether we are preachers or whether we are elders, and they are both equally important. And we lack and we are insufficient if we do not have both. Perfect. Not only was the argument good, that was right as the buzzer.
James, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to give me a 1 minute. Yeah. All right, so let's try to answer these questions that Wes proposed. First of all, Wes, Acts chapter 14. Paul and Barnabas went back through strengthening the disciples. Let's remember, Paul and Barnabas were preachers, not elders. Yes, they appointed elders, but it's the elders that taught them initially. I mean, it is the preachers who taught them initially. It's the preachers who strengthened the disciples. But I might remind you, in Acts chapter 11, when they were in Antioch, Barnabas was preaching there, and he wanted this church to grow and get stronger. He went and got another preacher. He didn't appoint elders in Antioch. Acts chapter 11 and verses 24 or so through 26. Titus chapter 1 you mentioned. If you had to have elders at those cities in Crete, Paul was there preaching. Why didn't he appoint them? Paul didn't leave elders behind. He didn't feel it a necessity to have elders at these places when he left it. No, he left Titus there, which means he left a preacher there to preach. In Ephesians chapter 4, Wes mentioned the importance of prophets and apostles. Agreed. That's why you need preachers, to preach what they say. They're the important ones, no doubt. Now, in the last few seconds, let me run through. I'm tempted to say, in his arguing about mothers and fathers, I'm tempted to say the husband and the father is the more important, but I ain't going there. So let's forget that one. But I think by saying that people ask the question, who's your preacher, want to have a preacher, you're proving my point. It's exactly right. The most important role that you've got to have in the minds of people, and people are the ones who attend church, is the preacher. And finally, let me touch upon the Pharisees. And yes, the Pharisees were rabbis, teachers, preachers. The problem is not that you needed elders. The problem is they were just bad preachers. And I would say when you have a bad preacher that's not doing the job and can't get accomplished the kind of things we've been talking about here, then you need to get one who can do that job. But again, that's what you need, is preachers.
Jesus says of those bad preachers in Matthew 23, do as they say, not as they do. They were preaching and teaching the law, do as they say, but not as they do. You think about, he used the church of Antioch as an example. The church of Antioch is an interesting example. When we go to chapter 13 of Acts, verses 1 and 2, you have that the church at Antioch had many prophets and teachers in that place. And it lists all these different ones, and he says, set apart, the Holy Spirit says, set apart from me, Paul and Barnabas, for the mission of which I have given them. They had a lot of things going on in Antioch. What we don't know is if they had elders or not from the text. So to draw a conclusion that they don't, maybe Acts 13 says that they didn't, but it doesn't mean that they weren't in need of it. That's not his point. His point is, in that place, there were a lot of prophets and there were a lot of teachers. Again, same things that were used in Ephesians chapter 4, right? That they are in that same group of important, necessary things. They've got some of those, but it doesn't mention those elders in that way. I just want you to understand that when we try to single out one role, what we are doing is like 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14, where you say, oh, I'm an eye, or I'm a hand. And what we're being told is, no. What is the eye without the rest of the body? What is the hand without the rest of the body? We all have different roles. We have different functions. And sometimes the hand can do the same thing that the arm can do or the mouth can do or whatever your case. Sometimes their jobs overlap, but they are equally important. You chop off the arm, you feel it. Especially when you have the arm to start with. What we don't realize is that we're walking around with minus an arm. But when you add an arm and you're like, whoa, look what we were missing. We would not be arguing that the preacher is the most important. We would be arguing my right arm is equally as important as my left arm. But yeah, that's not the way we see it. But that is the way God shows it.
All right, so I want you to understand, obviously, and I know that you do, but for anyone out there who is listening who does not understand, Wes is exactly right. And the reason we wanted to, we talked about this debate and we talked about what each of us was going to argue. The main reason why we wanted to argue this is because you understand that it's scary. What I'm throwing up here, and I'm saying the preacher's role is the most important, I agree with Wes, it is not the most important. Is equally important, as are all the roles, the positions, the functions, however you want to call that, that the Lord gave when He established His church. But sadly, the preacher is viewed in exactly the way that I was putting up here. And it is a growing sense within the church, within the Lord's church, that the preacher's role is the most important. And it's not just people. We might think, oh, well, people don't understand. They have a misconception. No, there are plenty of preachers out there who are saying that. There are preachers in this area who are teaching that. And I know some of you know that very well. That's a great problem. And we don't, again, we become comfortable with less. I knew a guy once, and I'll get off of the soapbox after this. But I went hunting with a friend of mine when I was in high school, and we went to his uncle's house, I think it was. And we got there early in the morning, and the uncle walks out there, and he had, Wes, one arm. Now, this guy put on his hunting boots, and I watched him, and to this day, I don't know how he did it, but he slapped that shoelace in a certain way and tied that boot with one hand. He could do what needed to be done. That doesn't mean that it was the ideal situation that would make everything go in the best possible way it could go. What you need is God's way, if that's what's going to happen. You need everything that God does commend to us to have if a church is going to be everything it can be. So I hope we continue to see it as a need. I hope we continue to grow and push toward that. And for those that are younger, I hope you do consider, even if you're a child right now, it is not too early to start aspiring to say, I want to be an elder or an elder's wife someday and grow into that position. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Boy, has this been a day. We have seen two people respond to the gospel, and that's a wonderful thing. Always leaves you with a great feeling when you leave this place to see the Word of God in effect, to see people become members of the church, to think back to the time when you obeyed the gospel. Maybe there's someone else here. I don't know. But if you are ready to confess your belief in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent, to change your life, to to be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. Now is a great time, because it is now, to obey the gospel and become a child of God. Maybe you're here and you've done that, and yet something is not right in your life, and you want to correct that. I talked a little bit about that in my own life this morning. Time to put that time of your life behind you and to change directions and begin to go in the way God wants you to go. We'd love to pray together with you. And the Lord is a merciful God. That's all He wants. He just wants out of us to get where we need to be. If you're here and you need to come for any reason, please come while we stand and sing.